Jesus speaks about the last being first and the first being last. He's not talking about the first and the last that we're experiencing today, but let me just mention them anyway. Today is the last day of ordinary time, the last day before Lent begins. Tomorrow's Ash Wednesday, which in some cultures, the last day before Ash Wednesday, in some cultures is a big party day. I think that arose in cultures where Lent was very strictly observed. Lots of foods couldn't be eaten and lots of activities couldn't be done. So in an age where there was no storage and no refrigeration, freezing, and you just had to eat up all the good stuff. Otherwise it would just go bad anyway. So you eat up all your eggs and all your meat and all your whatever, treats. Mardi Gras, at least in some cultures, Mardi Gras. That hasn't taken on much meaning here in the Philippines. Perhaps Lent isn't as strictly, the asceticism of Lent isn't so strictly followed here until you get to Holy Week. Anyway, this is the last day. This is the last day before the beautiful and grace-filled season of Lent. Today is also the first day of March, the month of St. Joseph, so it's good to keep in mind this time, also considered a month of the Holy Family. And today is also, looking at the secular world, at least here in the metro area, this is the first day of Alert Level 1. Which is making everybody very happy because most of the restrictions are dropped now. In fact, this is the first time we have ever been at Alert Level 1. Remember, it used to be GCQ and ECQ and MECQ. There wasn't any alert levels, and when we started the alert level system, I think we started on 2 or 3, and we went back from 2 to 3 and 2 to 3. Now, at last, we're at Alert Level 1, so minimal restrictions. We still have to wear masks here in the chapel, but we don't have to practice the social distancing. Anyway, I think the children can return to school. I don't know exactly how, but things are moving in the right direction, and we're grateful for that. So those are some firsts and some lasts, but let's look more deeply at what the scriptures are telling us. Today's gospel picks up from where we left off yesterday. Remember, yesterday was the sad story of the rich man who couldn't give up his possessions in order to follow the Lord, and that left him sad. Jesus then made some astonishing remarks about how hard it is to get into the kingdom of heaven, especially for people who are rich. And then we start today's gospel with Peter, who is quick to realize that if it's hard for a rich man, what about us? And he says, well, what about us? We've given up everything and followed you. So we're not rich. We never were rich before, but we certainly are now, and we are following you. So Peter is setting himself up in contrast to the rich man. Remember, the rich man didn't give up everything, and he went away sad. Peter and the apostles did give up everything. Does that mean they're going to be happy? That's what he's asking. What are we going to get for this? What's in the deal? Now, knowing that Jesus sometimes taught, as we heard on Sunday, two Sundays ago, he taught us to give and not expect repayment, to lend and not expect to get back, and not to be focused on what we get. We might expect Jesus to tell Peter, don't be so self-centered. Don't be so filled up with ideas that you're going to get something for what you've given. But he doesn't do that. Maybe he takes us by surprise again. Instead of correcting Peter or giving a contrary teaching, he actually honors Peter. He surpasses Peter's expectation. Peter was thinking, well, maybe we'll get something good out of this. And Jesus says, no, you'll get 100 times more than you give up. Give up your house, you get 100 houses. Give up your children, you get 100 children. all the other things, brothers, sisters, mother, and persecution, throws that in there to make sure we don't use our human or natural worldly standards for measuring what we receive. And you know, people have distorted this kind of passage many times. I don't know how this was proclaimed in before the 20th century, but with the rise of the big television evangelists, there was a certain brand of evangelism that said, if you give 100, you'll get back 10,000 because it's 100 more. Now, if you give 1,000, you'll get back 100,000. So if you put 100 pesos in the collection in our mega church, you'll get back 10,000. But that's not what Jesus is saying. I hope that's clear. But he says 100 times more, but not according to worldly standards. The greatest repayment we get is eternal life in the age to come. So it is to our benefit to be poor in spirit, even in this life, even in this age, what he calls the present age. It is to our benefit because we're not enslaved by bank accounts and keeping up with the neighbors. Our eyes are opened to the needs of others, and that's a very freeing and joyful way to live. So even in this life, we're better off loving than being selfish. But that's not the greatest benefit. The greatest benefit is eternal life in the age to come. So this is where Jesus throws in the line about many that are first will be last and the last will be first. If he's telling us to be last, to be directed toward the good of others, to not put ourselves first all the time, which is counter to our natural tendency, but it's much better even for us. Now, this is the paradox of the cross. Give yourself and you save yourself. Cling to yourself and you lose yourself. This is what he's saying here as well. And so he's honoring Peter for having made that gift of himself. He has given up everything. He has followed the Lord, and he's going to be much better off for it. He already is much better off for it. He's right with Jesus Christ, receiving the word. He already has a foot in the kingdom of heaven, but it will be much better for him in the next life. But this is a great instruction for us as we stand at the threshold of Lent, because Lent is a time to renew our dedication to giving, to loving, to serving, to denying ourselves for the sake of loving God and loving our neighbor. Our nature will say, well, why do that? Why should we be the one to lose? Why should I be last? Why don't I make somebody else be last so I can get the benefit? The gospel tells us, because you do get the benefit if you put yourself last. That's the gospel. Okay, now Peter, who is the one who spoke up on behalf of the apostles in the gospel, is also the author of today's first reading, the same Peter who is quick to come to conclusions. He gives us some great wisdom, again, for us who are on the threshold of Lent. I'm not going to look at the whole letter here, but look at the last paragraph of this first reading. He tells us, gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly, and set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So to gird up the loins of our mind is to use our mind properly to evaluate what's good and what's evil, to evaluate properly why it's a good thing to deny ourselves and follow the Lord. Live soberly means not subject to the desires of our nature, which are not sober. They're always excessive in one way or another. And set your hopes completely on the grace to be revealed. Well, that's looking forward with hope. Like obedient children, remember, children are last. Children are the little ones. And he's saying, we can't make ourselves younger, but we can make ourselves obedient with grace. like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance. Our former ignorance is when we are enslaved to our passions, our nature, our selfish desires, our pride, our fear of looking bad or whatever is in our nature. That's a slavery. And he says, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to live in compliance to those desires. Isn't this one of the central messages at the beginning of Lent? Start tomorrow. We don't have to eat all the time. We can give up eating, and it's to our benefit, and also to the benefit of others. Okay, so do not act in compliance with these desires of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. He's not telling us to make ourselves holy. He's telling us to follow the one who calls us to be holy. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Well, we can't be holy. It's like Jesus said yesterday, we can't enter the kingdom. It's impossible for us, but it's not impossible for God. So when God is the one who calls us to be holy, he also makes it possible. That's the spirit with which we can enter into a fruitful Lent. We're not determining to make ourselves better, spiritual giants. We're like children, being more confident in God, less confident in ourselves, but more confident in God and in the grace that is poured out for our sake. So that we choose to be last. God chooses to make us first. God, who empties himself for our sake, will not let us be left empty. He fills us with his grace, with his life.